Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dick Girardi is going to join us at 11:40. We're going to talk a little bit of horse racing as we get set for the Kentucky Derby. You've been to the Kentucky Derby. I've never been. I've always covered. It's one of the Super Bowl, Kentucky Derby are like the two things that I've never had the opportunity to cover.
Is that right? Yeah. I've been lucky to be at all. I've been to all three, the Triple Crown.
Wow.
Yeah.
All three?
Yeah.
Wow.
We went to, up until, I think it was 2 years ago, we went in 2013, my lovely wife, Lori, and I, and some friends from Westlake.
As a fan?
As a fan.
Oh, that's even better.
It was great. Except it rained the entire
day.
The only time it didn't rain was for the 7 minutes that it took for the parade of the horses and the running of the Kentucky Derby. Otherwise, it rained sheets of rain the entire day. We had a great time, though.
Were you in the mud or were you in the stands or where were you?
We were in the stands. We had I wasn't part of this. A good friend of ours had gotten us the tickets. We were like right in the home stretch. It couldn't have been better.
Wow.
And unfortunately, we spent most of the day underneath, having a couple of adult beverages and making some bets. And,
especially if you're not working.
And we made the most of it. And a quick story. So we get out and the sky's finally clear. It was like, you could play the angelic music. All of a sudden, the heavens open up. It's actually almost sunny, right? Mm-hmm. The horses are on the track. And they're just about to go off. And there's this family next to me. And I strike up a conversation with the guy. Turns out his grandfather and his father both worked in the stables at Churchill Downs. So they had this annual tradition of, before the race started, they would break out this, and I think only because they worked there, they were able to get this bottle of expensive bourbon down into the grandstand, right? Yeah. And they would have a family toast.
Oh.
And I'm not a real big bourbon guy.
Sure.
However, this guy offers me, says, would you like to join our family toast? I was like,
oh, how do you say
so
no?
I couldn't. Yeah. I said, I'd be honored. And I got news for you. It was the nicest tasting. It was one of the best things I've ever tasted, I think, in my life. It was just, and especially on a day when you're like, you're soaked to the bone anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it felt really good.
Wow.
And yeah, it was a great day. And the horse that won that year was Orb, O-R-B.
Okay.
We had a wonderful time. My wife and I had a situation when we lived in New York years ago. Off-track betting was a big deal in New York, right?
Yeah.
So we would always bet on the Triple Crown races. That's the only time I really ever gamble, right?
Right.
And so anyway, we struck up a conversation and a friendship with a woman who worked at the betting window at an OTB. Long story short, she kind of helped us figure out how to like bet an exacta the right way because I really didn't know what I was doing, right?
Right.
She was the nicest lady, and we would see her every year, and she would say, oh, there's my favorite couple, et cetera, right? So we finally get around to asking her what her name was. Of course, it was Rose.
Of course.
Running of the Roses, right?
Sure.
So then we made it a habit for about the next 4 or 5 years while we were there. We would bring her a rose before we would make our bet. And it became like a little family thing.
And then once they found out you were winning, she got fired and it wasn't good. The New York Gambling Commission was in on it.
Yeah, but the Triple Crown races are great. Yeah. And Belmont Park, if anybody ever gets a chance to go there, is fantastic. And the Preakness, while not in the necessarily the best part of Baltimore, is still quite a happening.
All right. So we're going to get to some more of that a little bit later, too. Brian Anderson's at noon, and Dan Devine at 1. All right, Tom, I really want to dig into what the Browns did last week and as we came into the weekend. And I know it's, a lot of this stuff's kind of been talked about over the week, but I want your perspective. I mean, you're there every day. You're sitting there. You've covered this team for years. What happened? I'm still sitting here trying to figure out.
Yeah.
It's not even the trade. Like, again, last night.
I mean, mostly in terms of the quarterback situation.
I just, Dylan Gabriel doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I do like him, though. I will tell you, when he was talking with the reporters.
I do, too.
I'll be honest, and you know this as well. We've heard a million press conferences. We've heard a million interviews. But he did an interview with the folks at Browns Radio Network that aired here. I heard it on Saturday morning. Dan, was that live Saturday morning, or was that taped from the night before?
Taped from the night before.
Okay, so whatever. So it was right after he got drafted, and it was just one of those interviews that you listen to, and you're like, oh, my God, I like this guy. And I didn't, especially after watching him play against Ohio State twice this year, I was like, when they drafted him. And then I listened
to analyze
him.
That game, though, too, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. But I still am sitting here going, And I'm like, wow, this guy's a really, really good guy.
So I think that's part of the equation as to why they picked him, Andy, is that, you know, very mature kid, right? 66, I think, career college games, right? Played at an elite level at two of the best programs in the country, right? Oklahoma and Oregon are definitely right there. I know they like the way he threw the ball. They like his upside. I think he brings a maturity at that position that you could use out of the young guys, right? So then, you know, you take him in 94 and you feel like, okay, they're done. Now, I was of the camp that wanted them to take two quarterbacks. My two guys were...
Did you want them to take him at 33 or 36? Because I did not.
No, I didn't.
After they made the trade, I'm like, okay, our quarterback's coming next year.
I thought third or fourth and fifth round, right? So Milrow and Howard were my two preferred guys if they were going to take two.
Okay.
You got to take as many as you can. You don't have a quarterback at all right now, right? And you have nothing invested in the position when you consider what you have invested now into Pickett and Flacco. So I can see the reasoning in getting to. It's just that the Sanders, now listen, all due respect to the Browns, all due respect to Sanders, all due respect to everyone in the situation, but you're finally kind of coming out from underneath the Watson chaos. And I know some of it was self-inflicted, some of it is just circumstances, right? Injuries, et cetera. You're finally kind of emerging from that, and now you're going to take on what could be another media circus / big personality / who knows what dad's going to do down the road kind of thing. So I just didn't feel like that was a smart move necessarily in terms of where this team is right now. Listen, from a business standpoint, from an entertainment standpoint, I get it. The guy is going to bring eyeballs. The guy is going to sell jerseys. Let's see if he can play.
But that's the Johnny Manziel part of it.
It is, to a degree, right?
It's relevant. You're now relevant. You have the number one guy that's selling jerseys out of the draft. The most merch is coming from this guy. You're going to make some money back that way. But as Jeff would say, it's jerseys. It's not...
Well, exactly.
The money isn't through the roof.
But that said, also, it's a fifth-round pick. It's low risk, right? So if he pans out and he becomes what a lot of people had him charted to be, which was potentially the number one or number two overall pick, then you got to steal. And maybe you got it right. So we'll see.
Do you think they were taken aback when Milrow got taken by Seattle? Because I didn't see that coming either. I'm like, they got Sam Darnold, and now all of a sudden they're taking Milrow. And
Where are
they going with this?
Remind me where that was again.
That was right before they took Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, okay.
So they kind of jumped
in there. In the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a second, because everything we had heard was, oh, Browns, Milrow, Browns. Although, we had heard a lot of Gabriel stuff, though, too, yep, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I had heard that.
So that, I wasn't totally surprised by the fact, but then when they came back and took Shador, and then the video went out. And I'm going to be honest, I'm going to back the guys that were in the room on that. One, none of those guys had a phone in their hand.
Kevin and Andrew?
Yeah,
and Jimmy. And Jimmy. And I think Kevin pointed this out. That's out of sync. That's not necessarily at the moment that he took the pick. They're just kind of celebrating, whatever.
And by the way, it's a fifth round. Even if that was dead on, right?
Yeah.
It's still a fifth round pick. Who's doing cartwheels for a fifth round pick? Nobody.
It's funny too. You say video and I say which one, because there's an Instagram, there's one on X. There's like, it's all about monitoring these guys in their videos, right? And that's obviously something that we've got to consider with Shador. This guy is almost a bigger than life personality. And listen, part of that is the media's responsibility, though. We've kind of built him up into who he is now as well. So we'll see. I wish the best for the kid. I like the fact that he was in Cleveland this week already, that he was doing some things kind of in the community, a little bit under the radar, right? Went and spoke to a high school yesterday. I know he was spotted over at Crocker Park the other day, maybe looking for a place to live. I know he was in the Nike store there. So, here we go.
So if you have to rank these four guys, how are you doing it? Because we sat here and to us, it just kind of feels like If you're looking at it from an analytic and a strategic point of view, it feels like Pickett is one, Flacco is two, Gabriel is three, and Sanders is four. But if that was completely flipped around when the season starts, I wouldn't be shocked.
I would flip your one and two right now.
So Flacco is one.
I think Flacco, I do.
Okay, yeah, why? Do.
Based on his resume, based on his comfortability, based on the fact that, oh, by the way, he led them to the playoffs a couple years ago. And I know, listen, I know it was 1 month. I know the playoff game did not go well, what have you. But I just think, I think Joe is still a competent enough quarterback to win that job. That's not to say that Kenny can't do it. And listen, I'm going to be fascinated to see how Tommy Rees does with Kenny Pickett. I've heard things, you know, from people around the league about Kenny Pickett in terms of he really hasn't had a chance. I mean, they really didn't give him, you know, he had no chance in New York, right? It's a pretty small resume in Pittsburgh. I like the kid coming out. Let's not forget he was a first-round draft pick by somebody, right? Sometimes it takes these guys a couple of years to figure out the pro game, and maybe he's one of those situations.
But Justin Gilbert was a first-round draft pick too, right? I mean, for everyone that's a hit, there's a miss. I'm not saying
– No, look, I got you.
I'm not rooting against any of these guys right now because I don't know who the starting quarterback's going to be.
No, and again, it's a one-year deal, right, isn't it? I mean, unless one of these rookies emerges, and I just think what's going to be interesting and in a Browns way, this is probably what's going to happen, right, is that one of them will go out there. Let's say it's Kenny. Kenny throws that first incompletion, and what are we going to have? The same situation that we feared last year, which is, you know, we want Joe, right? Or if Shador flashes during exhibition games, then is there going to be pressure on them to play them? I think the good thing, one of the good things, Andy, is that the Browns have been through so much, and I think you've got to put your trust in Kevin and in this staff to get it right. Listen, they've had a revolving door at quarterbacks during his almost entire tenure, right? And they found ways to get to the playoffs 2 years despite that. So you got to hope you can do it again.
There are other things that needed to be fixed. Like, they didn't really do anything with the wide receiver situation.
No.
It's hard, again, to look at them and say, okay, we drafted a defensive player with their fifth pick when you only score 15 points a game. Like, that's got to get fixed. You're not even in the same world as the Ravens. You're not. Cincinnati is a mile away from you when it comes to offense. And Pittsburgh, who knows what's going to end? And you know Ohio State fans are going to have their Browns fans or Ohio State fans are going to have their eyes in Pittsburgh going, that's the quarterback you didn't want? You know, what more do you need to do?
And listen, we're going to be doing that with Travis Hunter now for the next 10 years too, aren't we? So listen, I think overall, I think it was a really strong draft by the Browns. I don't think Andrew Berry had any choice but to make that trade with the Jaguars, right, and acquire another first-round pick for next year. I do know that an hour before the draft, Travis Hunter was the guy. And so I don't know what the Jaguars – and I know they had talks over a few weeks, but they definitely did something to sweeten that pot to make that trade happen.
At the last second?
Yeah.
The only
head-scratcher to me – now, listen, we've talked about the Sanders situation, and that's a whole entirely different thing. I thought the Schlesinger, is that how you pronounce it?
I love his story, by the way.
Yeah, great story.
Love his story.
I just thought at 33, now listen, I think this also underscores the JOK situation, right? And the desperate need for a linebacker. The kid looks like a playmaker. I just felt like at 33, you probably, to your point, I thought you could have gone in another direction with either a stout offensive lineman or a wide receiver. You still need playmakers.
I also still wonder, we'll talk about this when we come back, what did they tell Myles Garrett, and was Myles Garrett happy? We saw him on the phone, so we'll hop into that in a second. Tom Withers is in today for Jeff. Again, 216-474-0092 if you want to hop in on the conversation. We're going to get into the Cavs, we're going to talk Kentucky Derby, and of course we're going to talk Guardians a little bit later in the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I also want to give a shout out to Beachwood 100. Last night, for the last couple of years, Tom, I've been able to do this event, and it's just, it's really cool. There's a group, it's a business group in Beachwood that they give back to first responders in Beachwood.
Love it.
Fire and police. And what they do is, and you know, it's, I would say most of the people that work there don't live in Beachwood. In fact, I think over the last, I'm trying to think how many years I've been doing this, like 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure how many of the kids actually went to Beachwood schools. They're like from all over Northeast Ohio. Like last night was Avon and Macedonia or Nordonia, Menor. There were kids from all over Northeast Ohio that received these scholarships because they write these essays about what it's like to have a parent who's a first responder, who's a police officer or a firefighter in the situation.
So you had a fundraiser last night then?
Yeah, no, it's a scholarship dinner. It's not even a fundraiser.
And, gotcha.
You know, the restaurant we were at, they did a fantastic job last night. And what's amazing is you see these kids get up there, and I don't think, like, no, we always talk about first responders, and we talk about, you know, what they do for us and how they're there when we need them. But you don't ever really think about their kids.
No, that's a good point.
And the kids write essays to talk about their parents.
Oh, man.
And
I'm choking up, and I'm not even.
Well, so, you know, and it's just one of those events where, even if I have something on the schedule, I'm going to cancel it because I'm going to go do this thing.
Good for you.
And so it's just really eye-opening. And, you know, they were talking about Mental Health Awareness Month last night, too, that they were saying that, you know, the average person sees 2 really traumatic events in their entire life. A first responder sees 150. And, I mean, like, I don't know. The next time you see a first responder, you see somebody who's in that situation, it just opens your eyes. And I listen to these kids and their essays that they give, and they just talk about, you know, especially when times are a little crazy, and they're still crazy, and you, like, the way we treat police and fire or any first responder or paramedic or, you know, a military, just like, there are kids here too, you know, and I don't think we ever think about that, and it really opened my eyes.
That's first of all, wonderful and good for all of them, and especially the kids, right? I grew up on Long Island, you know, for my high school years.
Right.
And our community, West Islip, was loaded with New York City.
We had a couple kids at Kent that were from there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had New York City firemen and policemen.
Right.
And their families. And so I went to school with their sons and daughters. And so I had a firsthand kind of relationship with them. And then obviously we were living here, you know, when 9/11 happened, but our community was affected. I think there were 3 from West Islip where I grew up that died in the towers. But you know, every chance I can that when I see either a policeman or fireman just out socially in Westlake, I'll just make sure I say hi and thank you for your service because it's that, you know, when the fire is burning, they run toward it, not away from it.
Yeah. And I think the other part of this is for the kids. It's not like, Tom, your kids didn't say to you, man, I hope my dad doesn't get a splinter in his finger from writing with a pencil today or get carpal tunnel from typing today.
He doesn't trip on somebody's helmet in the locker room. These kids don't know if mom or dad are going to come home at the end of the day.
Right. And
that's a lot to deal with.
That's like the gist of like this whole thing. So I just wanted to give a shout out to all those award winners last night that, you
congrats
know,
to all. Yeah,
it was really, really cool. And, you know, and it's not, I mean, obviously Beachwood 100 does this. I'd love to see every community in Northeast Ohio. Again, it's about giving money to the kids that are going to college. They're all high school seniors. And I was really surprised at how many of, like, especially there were like, I think there were 2 out of the 6 that want to be nurses.
Oh,
you know,
it.
And so they kind of want to give back as well. So, and one's going to Ohio State, just for you, just so you know that.
Go Bucks.
One of the same.
All right, good, heartwarming stories. Good news. Yeah. I love good news.
Yeah, we don't do enough of that.
Yeah.
We don't. And I actually brought that up last night about how we would sit in the newsroom and we'd be like, oh, what death and destruction are we doing tonight? I'm like, isn't anybody doing good in any community? Isn't there? I mean, there's got to be one good politician out there, isn't there?
I like how NBC's Network News, by the way, ends every show with our last segment, which is finally some good news. And it's usually heartwarming, and I get a big lump in my throat, and like, it makes you feel good, makes you feel alive.
I don't know if you remember this, but TBS used to do a show. Bill Tush was the guy that, because I used to laugh. I'd be like, what's this guy's name? And it was on Sunday mornings. It was a half hour,
right?
And it was called Good News. And of course, it didn't make it because the ratings were horrible. The good news was everyone wants to see bad news.
That's why I like CBS Sunday morning show too, by the way, because that's always, you know, a little bit of nature, a little bit of everything.
It's the best.
Some art and culture.
Some of those are some of the best videographer pieces ever see in your life. And so, yeah, it's weird how life changed. When I was a kid, we'd watch 60 Minutes, and now I'd rather watch CBS Sunday morning.
Bill Tush.
With a cup of coffee. Going back to the Browns. So, somebody texted me right after the draft, and they're like, 4.5 wins. That's what Vegas thinks team is. And I wanted to argue, but I can't. I can't, knowing that they've got to play Cincinnati. They got to play Baltimore and Pittsburgh twice. And I mean, since the beginning of time, we all know that that's the beginning. That's the core. And how you do against them, you know, expands into what you do against everybody else. But does that sound right?
Yeah, yes and no. I'll tell you what, Andy, I still revert back to, in my mind, they were not a 3-14 team last year, right? The roster doesn't say 3-14. They've got some good players on this roster still. And I know
6 points per game the last three games, that's the average.
Well,
six.
The quarterback situation, it's what you got to fix, which is why they're doing what they're trying to do. So, you know, I get that Vegas doesn't, you know, speak highly of them right now, but let's give it a chance to breathe here. We didn't see some of these 10-win seasons that we've had, and I know that's it's on one hand, you can count them, but, you know, we didn't see a lot of this stuff coming, so you never know, right? Things happen.
I do like what they did, and if you would have told me they're going to draft two quarterbacks and two running backs, I would have been like, what? Because it doesn't happen. The other thing, Jeff did a little research, and then I went back in and looked at a little bit more, that if you go back and look at since they've gone to the 7-round draft, 11 times they've had someone draft two quarterbacks.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But if you look at those 11 times, only one team has made it to the playoffs that first year.
Do you remember who it was?
It was Washington.
Okay. With
RG3.
Okay.
Remember they drafted two quarterbacks that year. And so, so you look at that, but that's the one time. But also the Browns were when they took Gabriel, that was the latest anyone had taken the first quarterback.
Right.
And when they took Sanders, that was the earliest they had ever taken the second quarterback. It just doesn't happen.
I know. But it's the Browns, right? It's the quarterbacks. It's been the quarterbacks. It's the history of the Browns. We're going to look back on this and say, remember when they had five in the quarterback room to start the year and Shedeur Sanders won the starting job or whatever? I mean, things are going to happen.
The T-shirt now shouldn't look like somebody who's got tape on the back of it. It should look like a concert shirt, right?
Every name is a concert shirt
now.
Like the dates you're saying.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Oh, boy.
There's a T-shirt company that just said, oh, my God, let's do that. Let's go put all the names of the starting
just
quarterbacks.
Just one. There's about six of them are going out right
down
now
to the patent office.
The quarterback tour, right? Isn't that what it is?
I like it.
You know, and then you put the different names of the stadium since.
I think as Browns fans, you've got to put your trust in Stefanski and Reese and hope that they can. Listen, 2 years ago, they started PJ Walker and won a game. I mean, strange things happen in that league, right? You've made some improvements on defense. You know, Garrett's back, got to fix the linebackers. I still think there could be some moves in that secondary before all is said and done in this offseason, right? You hope you can find a playmaker too. I tell you what, let's talk Buckeyes for 1 second. I thought the Judkins pick was a really nice one. I was like, when people asked me what I thought they should do with 33 or 36, I had either Henderson or Judkins or both. And they end up taking two running backs. And so we'll see what happens there. But I think it
was a toss up though. You watch Ohio State the same way I do. Like we're fine tooth comb on these games and I'm watching. And I liked Henderson just a little bit more as a receiver too.
Same
that was
here.
But the margin of error is minuscule. And if you go back and think about how many times Judkins was able to hit the line and explode.
Well, there you go.
That's why you can't. You look at both of those and you're like, they can't go wrong either way.
And I love Trevion, but let's be honest. You know, just like J.K. Dobbins, he's had an injury-filled past, right? And I think having Judkins on the team this year allowed them to use Henderson in ways where he was not going to be the bell cow, if you will. And and the carries were going to accumulate, and you start to risk injury. So, you know, they were a great 1-2 punch, and I think the Browns got a good one in Judkins. And I don't know if you saw the video of him yesterday working out, the footwork?
No.
Oh, incredible.
Oh, really?
You got to take a look
I'll go back to that. All right, so I also wanted, if we're going to go to Ohio State, I want to do the Will Howard thing here, because I don't know what more, like, I think the arm strength thing, in the beginning of the season, I questioned it, and I wondered, well, is his arm strength really that? As the season went on, I let it go. And I forgot, now, granted, he had probably the best player in college football in a receiver.
Didn't hurt.
So
the second best wide receiver as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And think about the receivers that Ohio State's had over the last 6 years. Yeah. But I don't think there's substitution for understanding the pressure of beating four top 10 teams to win a national championship in front of NFL-type crowds, even with a little bit more zest than any given Sunday.
You just stole my thunder. That's exactly what I was going to say. I thought his poise in the playoffs was remarkable. And Andy, you know, in watching them all year, I mean, there were one or two throws every game where you're like, oh, Will, what are you doing?
Right.
You didn't see that in December and in January, right? He was pinpoint accurate. I loved the fire that he played with. He obviously handled himself well. That's a tough, you know, to your point, high pressure situation. And he came through about as well as you could ever imagine.
The key points on Howard, one, was the way they lost to Oregon. He wasn't going to let that happen again. I know no one would ever do this, but go back and listen to his press conference after they lost to Oregon Oregon. And he walked out of there knowing, like, he shouldered all the blame for that last play. Even though, I mean, was it all his fault? But he took it. And he wanted to learn and get better from that play. But there was no better comeback story.
That's a great call.
Than the worst loss in Ohio State that I can remember since Sean Springs slipped against Michigan.
I maintain that without those two losses, they do not win a national title. It is what drove them to a national title. And I will say as well, I think Howard was, if not concussed, he was dinged in that Michigan game, which changed their strategy. And let's be honest, I know everybody talks about that game. Mm-hmm. They make one of the two field goals, they win 13-10. So,
right.
You know, but again, I don't think they have the motivation necessarily then to win a national title.
I don't know why, but as time has gone by, and some, I mean, like at one point, I was right in the middle of it. Like, I hosted John Cooper show every once in a while when Crawford or Gleason, Jay Crawford is at Channel 3 right now, when those guys were out and somebody had to fill in, I got to fill in on some of those shows. And, like, I was right in the middle of it. And as I've kind of gotten older and walked away from it and had nephews, one go to Ohio State, one go to Michigan, I've more respected the series. Of course, I want Ohio State to win every year.
Yeah.
But I always respected the fact that you wanted, but prior to the current setup, you wanted Michigan to win every game because you wanted them to be undefeated when they played Ohio State.
100%.
And the fact that Ohio State was able to go win a national championship last year and have that mark of Michigan beating them at the end of the year, it only adds to the greatest rivalry in sports.
Well, yeah, and to do it a year after Michigan wins it, right?
Yeah.
Ty Streets, was that his name?
Yeah.
You just haunted me with that Sean
Tim
Springs.
Biak, yeah.
That's one of the worst losses in our lifetimes. That was a bad one.
I just remember Sean after the game sitting in that, and I don't know if you remember, did you ever cover when the press conferences were in? Were in an old classroom.
Yeah.
And it was 900 degrees in there, and I remember waiting to talk to Sean after the game, and there were like 100 of us standing around there, and he just kept putting his head down. He goes, I feel bad for the seniors. And I was just like, okay. And then he didn't come back the next year. And I was like, now I get it. Now with the perspective of age and understanding why he left, I get it. But
think of how good that team was. Orlando Pace, Eddie George, Terry Glenn.
Hoop had some guys.
Let's go.
All right, let's talk Cavs when we come back. Tom Withers is in for Jeff Phelps. Dustin Dupiriak is going to join us. He is from the Indianapolis Star, and we are going to get and figure out every little matchup we need to know as we get set for Pacers-Cavs Game 1 on Sunday.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.